Ever feel like you're just drowning in market news? It's like this constant wall of noise.
Oh, absolutely. Information overload is real.
And you're trying to find the signal, right? The stuff that actually helps you figure out what's going on, maybe even spot some profitable strategies. But it feels impossible sometimes.
Like finding a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, exactly. Well, think of this as your kind of decoder ring. Welcome to the deep dive. We sort through all that information so you don't have to. We're basically your guides to, well, the good stuff.
Yeah, our job is to cut through the clutter and pull out the nuggets that really count.
And today we're doing this deep dive specifically for you, the learner. We're unpacking a book called 30 Days to Market Mastery by Jacob Bernstein.
Right, published back in 2007. It's part of the Wiley Trading Series.
And Wiley, they've been around forever, right? Since like 1807. So they have a solid reputation for practical knowledge.
They do, though we always have to say trading has risks. Past performance, well, doesn't guarantee future results. Everyone needs to remember that.
Super important. And just to be clear, our mission here isn't to give you trading advice or promise you'll make money.
Definitely not.
What we are doing is digging into Bernstein's core ideas. We're looking at his fundamental principles, the repeatable patterns he talks about. We want to pull out those actionable bits so you can get up to speed quickly, without feeling totally overwhelmed.
So, getting right into it, Bernstein kicks things off with a really fundamental concept.
Yeah, he is that.
He argues that any potentially successful trade needs structure, a clear structure. He breaks it down into three essential parts: setup, trigger, and follow-through.
Set up, trigger, follow through. Huh?
Without those three, he basically says you're just gambling. It's like shooting in the dark.
Right. Structure, not just a gut feeling. So let's take that first one. The setup. What does he mean by that?
Okay, so a setup, according to Bernstein, is basically a pattern, something that shows up again and again in the market and has a high probability, historically speaking, of leading to a certain move.
Like seeing storm clouds before it rains.
Kind of, yeah. A recognizable condition. And he gives a whole range of examples.
Okay, like what kind of examples?
Well, there are the visual ones on charts, chart patterns, things like gaps, pennants, the head and shoulders pattern, support and resistance levels.
The classic stuff.
Right. Flags, trend lines, different kinds of reversal patterns, key reversals, even things like island tops and bottoms. Those are all visual setups.
So looking for shapes on the chart that hint at what might happen next.
Exactly. But it's not just visual patterns. He also talks about setups derived from specific formations or analytical techniques.
Like?
Things like GAN analysis using angles and time cycles, Elliott wave theory.
The wave counts.
Yeah, Fibonacci ratios, regression lines, basically mathematical or cyclical approaches. He even mentions things like market cycles, seasonal tendencies, which makes sense for commodities, right?
Yeah, like harvest times affecting prices.
Exactly. Plus certain ratios and even anniversary dates of major market events.
Anniversary dates. That's interesting. The idea that a specific date could be a setup.
It's about historical significance, maybe psychological turning points. He actually gives a specific example, a key date seasonal setup for crude light oil.
Oh, yeah. What was the pattern there?
Looking at data from 84 to 2004, he found a historical tendency. You'd look to buy around January 27th and then sell around February 2nd.
So it's a few days later.
Right. And there were performance stats tied to it showing it had worked more often than not in that period. The point is that repeating historical tendency is the setup.
Okay, so you've identified a potential setup, like this seasonal tendency. What's next in his structure?
The trigger, this is critical. The trigger is the specific event or signal that confirms the setup. It's your timing mechanism. It tells you now is the potential time to act on that setup.
So the setup says get ready, the trigger says go.
Precisely. And Bernstein is really strict about this. No trade without both a setup and a trigger. Period.
That sounds like a key discipline rule.
Yeah.
Okay, setup identified, trigger fires. What's the last piece?
Follow through. This is all about managing the trade once you're in it. How do you protect yourself? That means using stop loss orders to limit potential losses.
Right. Cutting your losses if it goes wrong.
And just as important, how do you maximize potential gains? That means having clear exit strategies for taking profits.
So it's a whole life cycle of the trade. Entry conditions, the trigger, and then managing the exit, win or lose.
You got it. A great setup and trigger aren't enough if you don't manage the trade properly afterwards.
That makes a lot of sense. It brings some logic to the chaos. It really makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Have you, listening, really broken down market moves you see into those three parts? Setup, trigger, follow through.
And building on that need for structure, Bernstein makes another really vital point about the danger of just focusing on accuracy, how often a strategy wins.
Oh, yeah. How so? Accuracy sounds pretty good.
Well, he gives this great example, a simple strategy. Buy when the price looks like it's reversing upwards. And guess what? It had a winning percentage of almost 76%.
Wow, 76%. Sounds like a winner.
You'd think so, right? But here's the kicker. Despite winning that often, the overall profit was terrible, and it had big drawdowns, meaning big dips in your capital along the way.
So winning often didn't actually mean making good money.
Exactly. He even shows a chart in the book, Figure 2.3, illustrating this. It's a huge lesson. High accuracy by itself means very little.
That's counterintuitive, but really important. So being right frequently isn't the goal.
The goal is profitability. He shows another example, a sell strategy with 70% accuracy, also not profitable. His point's crystal clear. Percentage accuracy is meaningless without profit. Don't just ask how often does it win.
Okay, so if accuracy alone is misleading, what makes the difference? How do you get to profitability?
Well, that brings us back to the trigger. Remember, he shows that same reversal pattern, but now adds a specific trigger condition.
Linking it back.
Yeah. And when you look at the results with the trigger added, he shows this in table 2.1, the net profit jumps up significantly. The winning percentage is still good, but now it actually makes money.
So the trigger acted like a filter, improving the quality of the trades.
Precisely. It filtered out some of the wins that didn't lead anywhere or maybe even turn into bigger losers later. Interestingly, he also shows the sell pattern, even with a trigger added, table 2.2, still wasn't great.
So not all setups are created equal, even with a trigger.
Right. You have to find the ones with a real edge. And then remember the third piece, follow through.
Yeah, managing the trade. Stop losses and exits.
He shows how just changing your stop loss rules or your profit taking strategy, detailed in tables 2.3 and 2.4, can massively change the outcome, even for the same triggered setup.
Wow. Okay. So it really is all three working together. The right setup, confirmed by a trigger, and managed with smart follow through.
You absolutely need all three. Okay, so let's dig a bit more into one type of setup he discussed, seasonals.
Right, the idea that markets have yearly patterns.
Exactly, based on historical tendencies. He gives a few examples he considers high probability, like buying September heating oil around July 25th, exiting mid-August, or selling September soybeans mid-July to end of July. That one apparently had over 77% accuracy over 36 years.
That's pretty consistent historically.
It is. Or shorting the September Canadian dollar, mid to late July, over 82% accuracy based on 28 years. And he gives specifics, like in table 3.1 for July hog futures, enter July 2nd, exit July 6th, with profit loss data from 1970 to 2004.
So really concrete historical example.
Yep. But again, he stresses the seasonal tendency is the setup. You still need a specific trigger to time the actual entry. He mentions covering those triggers later in the book.
Setup tells you the window, trigger tells you the moment.
You got it. And he suggests practicing finding these, maybe using resources like the High Odd Seasonal Trades website he mentions. Get familiar with spotting them.
And the follow-through for seasonals.
Standard stuff, mostly. Set a stop loss. Maybe move the stop to break even once the trade hits its historical average profit. And usually, you exit automatically on the specified exit date using a market on close order unless your stop gets hit first.
Market on close, so just get out at the end of that day.
Right. Though he mentions more aggressive traders might try to let winners run longer, but that's a different management style.
Okay, so seasonals offer potential setups, but the same core structure applies.
Absolutely. Now, a totally different approach he covers is momentum divergence, using something he calls the power momentum formula, or PMF.
Momentum divergence, that's when price and momentum are doing different things, right?
Exactly. Like the price is making new lows, but the force behind those lows, the momentum, is actually weakening. It's making higher lows on the indicator. That's bullish divergence.
Suggesting the downtrend might be losing steam.
Precisely. Or the opposite. Price makes new highs, but momentum makes lower highs. That's bearish divergence. A warning, the uptrend might be fading.
Kind of like a car engine sputtering, even though it's still going uphill.
Good analogy. He uses points A, B, C on the price chart and A, B, C on the momentum indicator to show this visually. The key is it's objective. There are rules for spotting it.
And what's the trigger in this case?
He calls it the E point. It's a specific confirmation point on the chart that validates the divergence and signals a potential entry.
Okay, so divergence is the setup, E point is the trigger.
Yep, and again, practice identifying these on charts is key.
What about follow through for PMF trades?
He lays out strategies, initial stop loss, naturally, than profit targets, PT1 and PT2, and using trailing stops to lock in gains as it moves your way with different levels, conservative, moderate, aggressive, depending on your risk tolerance.
So a complete system from setup to exit based on this divergence idea.
Right. Okay, another tool he likes is the moving average channel, or MSC. Not the MACD indicator, but a channel.
A channel.
How does that work?
It uses two moving averages. One is the average of the low prices over a period, the MAL. The other is the average of the high prices, the MAH. Together, they create a channel on the chart.
Ah, okay. So like a dynamic price band. How do you trade with that?
Well, the basic idea is watching how price interacts with the channel boundaries. For instance, seeing two bars in a row close above the upper band, the MAH, could be a buy signal.
Suggesting a breakout upwards.
Or two consecutive closes below the lower band, the MAL, could be a sell signal.
A potential breakdown. Are there other ways to use it?
Yeah, he mentions using it for shorter-term swing trades, too. Maybe buying near the lower band in an uptrend, selling near the upper band in a downtrend. He also describes a specific pattern using five consecutive bars.
Five bars in a row.
Yeah, five bars all closing either above the MAH or below the MAL. That's a stronger momentum signal, potentially a trigger itself. You might enter on the sixth bar opening.
Interesting. How about managing risk with the MA? Stops and targets.
For the basic swing trades, maybe a stop based on twice the channel width. For the five-bar pattern, a stop usually goes just beyond the range of those five bars. Profit targets might be the opposite channel band for swings or the range of the five bars projected from the entry for that pattern. He notes it works best in active markets.
And you mentioned another indicator with it.
Yeah, briefly, the ADMA accumulation distribution moving average based on a Larry Williams indicator. It can potentially help confirm the trend signals from the MAC.
Okay, so the MEC channel gives a framework. And other tools can add confirmation.
Exactly. Now let's talk about gaps. Those days where the market opens way higher or lower than where it closed the previous day.
Right. Those can be dramatic moves. Why are they important?
Bernstein highlights several things. Major market tops and bottoms often happen on gap days. The price range on gap days is usually much bigger than normal.
They feel significant.
They're often driven by big news events, which means lots of emotion is involved. This can create reliable short-term opportunities. And often, the price closes near the high or low of the day's range, usually on high volume.
So a sudden, powerful shift in sentiment. How do you trade them?
Well, a basic idea is if it gaps down, but then trades back above the previous day's low, that might be a buy signal. The panic might be overdone.
Kind of a fade the initial move.
Not exactly filling the gap, more like a potential reversal after the shock. Conversely, if it gaps up, then falls back below the previous day's high, that could be a sell signal. He also describes a specific setup called the two-day breakaway gap pattern with its own entry rules based on day three.
Okay. And the follow-through for gap trades.
For that two-day pattern, he suggests maybe taking some profit when the move equals the size of the gap itself and then using a trailing stop, maybe a 75% trail on the rest.
Got it. Gaps are definitely worth watching.
For sure. And speaking of learning from market events, he tells this fascinating story about the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962.
Wow, okay. How does that relate to trading?
Well, during the crisis, extreme fear gripped the stock market, causing a sharp plunge. But investors who stayed calm and thought about the likely outcome de-escalation saw it as a buying opportunity.
So maximum fear was actually the time to buy, looking back.
Exactly. And the market did indeed bottom out and rally strongly afterwards. From this, Bernstein derived a pattern he calls the Cuban Missile Crisis, or CMC pattern.
Okay, what does the CMC pattern look like?
It's used with the moving average channel, the AMS. The setup occurs after you already have an MAC buy or sell signal suggesting a trend. The CMC trigger is when a price bar then moves completely outside the channel.
Completely outside, yeah. Like way below the lower band after a buy signal.
Exactly, or way above the upper band after a sell signal. It signals a potential extreme, maybe unsustainable move against the recent signal.
An overshoot. How do you manage a CMC trade?
He offers three follow-through options. One, exit if the next bar moves even further outside the channel. Two, exit when price gets back to the opposite channel line. Or three, take partial profit at the opposite line and use a trailing stop, like 75% on the rest.
Interesting. Trading an extreme move with the expectation of a snapback towards the channel.
Precisely. Okay, shifting gears again, let's talk about the Commitment of Traders report, the COT report.
Yes, the COT shows what different groups of traders are holding in futures markets.
Right, specifically the large speculators and the commercials, the businesses hedging risk. Bernstein thinks the commercial positions are particularly insightful.
Why the commercials?
Because they're often dealing in the physical commodity. Their positioning can reflect real underlying supply and demand dynamics. He feels that the small speculator data isn't as consistently useful.
So what can the commercial positioning tell you?
He highlights that when commercials, as a group, are net long holding more buy contracts than sell contracts, it's often a leading indicator of a potential bull market.
Assigned prices might be heading higher long term.
Yeah. But crucially, it's not a timing signal by itself. It suggests the underlying trend might be shifting, but you still need a trigger to tell you when to potentially enter.
Okay. Direction clue, not an entry signal. How do you use it with a trigger?
He suggests combining it with the weekly MA. So when the COT commercials turn net positive, you start watching the weekly MA chart for that market. An AA buy signal on that weekly chart could then be your trigger.
Using the long-term COT sentiment with a shorter-term technical trigger.
Exactly. You might also look for pullbacks to MS to support levels on that weekly chart as potential entry points once the COT is positive. And you'd use stops, maybe exit if the COT commercials turn negative again before you're profitable.
Makes sense. Combining fundamental insight with technical timing.
Right. He also mentions the ADMA indicator, that accumulation distribution moving average, as another potential timing trigger to use alongside the COT data. A crossover on the ADMA could signal entry.
So multiple ways to potentially time entries based on that longer-term COT picture.
Now, while a lot of the book is swing or position trading, he does touch on day trading, acknowledges it's tough, but offers a structured method. The advanced 30-minute breakout, or 30 MBO, specifically for the S&P and E-mini futures.
Day trading the S&P, definitely fast-paced. What's the 30 MBO setup?
It's simple, actually. You just mark the high and the low of the very first 30-minute trading bar of the day. That range is your key reference.
Okay, the opening range sets the stage. What's the trigger?
A buy trigger is when a subsequent 30-minute bar closes above the high of that first bar. A sell trigger is a 30-minute close below the low of that first bar. The close is important.
So waiting for a confirmed break of that initial half-hour range. What about the follow-through? That must be crucial in day trading.
Absolutely. And he stresses strict rules. Enter on the trigger. Immediately place your stop on the opposite side, just below the initial low for a buy, just above the initial high for a sell.
Got it. Defined risk from the start.
Your first profit target is the size of that initial 30-minute range projected from your entry. If you're trading multiple contracts, maybe take profit on one here and move the stop on the rest to break even.
Locking in some profit and making the rest risk-free.
Exactly. Then, if it keeps going, a second potential target might be twice the initial range. Any remaining positions are just closed out at the end of the day using a market on close order.
And what if the first trade loses?
There's a rule for that, too. If your first trade gets stopped out, you're allowed one reverse trade that day. If that one also loses, you stop trading for the day. Discipline is key.
Very structured. Clear rules for entry, stops, targets, and even handling losses.
Right. Now, zooming out from specific strategies, Bernstein really emphasizes portfolio management. Even the best method needs proper implementation, and a huge part of that is diversification.
Ah, the old don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
But he takes it further, doesn't he?
He does. He talks about three levels of diversification. First, yes, diversify across markets. Don't just trade grains or just metals. If you're using seasonals, spread them across meats, grains, currencies, energies, rates, metals, unrelated sectors.
Spread the risk across different areas. Okay, what's level two?
Diversify across timeframes. Some markets work better for short-term trading, others for longer-term. Use the right time frame for the market you're trading.
Makes sense. Don't try to day trade something that only trends long-term.
And level three, diversify across methodologies. Use the strategy that works best for that specific market. Maybe seasonals are great for wheat, but momentum divergence works better for, say, crude oil.
So tailoring the approach, market, time frame, and strategy.
Exactly. He argues this multi-level diversification minimizes losing streaks, helps you sleep better, and you don't need massive capital to implement it across even just a few well-chosen markets. He apparently has a summary table, figure 20.1, showing his views on which markets fit which methods and time frames.
A much more thought-out approach to diversification.
Finally, and this might be the most important part, he talks about psychology and discipline, often the weakest link for trader.
The mental game. So true.
He lists common reasons people lose money even with decent systems. No trading plan, not following the plan, bad money management, overtrading.
Letting fear or greed take over.
Yeah, chasing the holy grail system. And he warns against overthinking after you're in a trade. Once the trade is on, stick to the plan. Don't second guess constantly.
Easier said than done when the market's moving against you.
It is. He also talks about taking responsibility for losses, not blaming everything else, and the need for self-discipline, which often mirrors discipline in other parts of life. But importantly, discipline isn't rigidity. You need flexibility to adapt if a strategy clearly stops working.
That balance again. Sticking to rules, but knowing when rules need adjusting.
He also mentions the Edsel car story, how Ford tried to include everything the market research suggested, and it flopped. Too much information can paralyze you in trading, too.
Keep it focused on what matters.
Right. And remember, feelings aren't facts. Sometimes the trades that feel scariest are the best ones. He also touches on using rewards to reinforce good trading habits rather than just punishing mistakes.
Focus on the positive reinforcement. Interesting.
He ends that section with some reverse psychology, ways to increase your odds of losing. Get too much info, constantly change systems, ignore stocks, cut winners short, let losers run, trade without skill. His point is, your system matters, luck plays a small role, but maybe 60% of your success comes down to you, your discipline, and how you respond.
Wow. So the trader is often the biggest factor.
That's his view.
Okay, quite a journey through Bernstein's approach. Let's quickly pull together the main threads. We saw the core structure. Setup, trigger, follow-through, absolutely essential.
Can't trade without it, really.
We learned why just chasing high accuracy can be a trap and how vital that trigger is for confirming a good setup.
Profitability is the real measure.
We explored different setups. Seasonal patterns, momentum divergence with the PMF, the visual moving average channel, the significance of price gaps, and even learning from history with the CMC pattern.
Lots of tools for identifying potential opportunities.
We also looked at using the COT report for longer-term direction, a specific day trading method like the 30 MBO, and the crucial need for diversification across markets, timeframes, and methodologies.
Building a robust overall approach.
And finally, perhaps most critically, the huge impact of psychology and discipline. Sticking to your plan, managing emotions, taking responsibility.
Often the difference between success and failure.
So here's a final thought for you, listening in. Reflecting on all these ideas from a trader with decades of experience.
Yeah.
What's maybe one area in your own way of looking at markets where you could potentially refine things or dig a little deeper?
Is it about finding better setups? Being more disciplined with triggers?
Or maybe really nailing down that follow-through plan for managing risk and taking profits. Just consider that balance. Getting information, analyzing it with structure, and then executing with discipline. Where could you focus a bit more attention?
Always something to work on.
Absolutely. Look, this deep dive is really just scratching the surface. We definitely encourage you to explore these ideas further. Maybe even track down Bernstein's book if it sparked your interest.
Yeah, there's a lot more detail in the source.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for the deep dive. We sincerely hope this session gave you a useful shortcut and some solid insights to help you become more informed.